nice suit.
Zip it, Stanley!
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's not good. No, no, no. Oh, you're not going to walk that one off. Oh, that's so gross. Oh, I'm so sorry. I spent way too long in the phone booth. If I'm being honest with myself, I probably should have just called 911. Well, none of that matters now. Because I think we're both missing the real point here. The fuck is a phone booth doing on a street corner? Didn't those disappear in 98? I suppose I could have just used my cell. Don't you think? Ooh! And Cherry Garcia ice cream. You gonna eat this? Don't answer now. Just rest. I mean, actually, I made a call. It was to the costumer. His name is Laird. He usually helps me put the suit on.
I don't know how the other guys do it so quickly.
I mean, he probably wouldn't be dead if it was Logan. Because he got to change into. Guy wears a fucking tank top and a pair of jeans. Yeah, like to get my tank top on. Bit of perspiration, have a nice little crime fighting spree, yeah. Happy hug a koala day.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. And TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. It's Lick and Kink. It's Lick and Kink.
Hello and welcome to the Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek. This is episode 4 of the all-new, all-different Nerd News Network. And, of course, I am TFU and Mike. Joining me once again is Ryan, the Evenflow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Hello.
He is only 40% an old man at this point, folks. So, that's an inside joke no one's going to get.
The movie's more than 100 minutes, Mike.
Yeah, I know, right? You say that like it's a bad thing. Oh, boy. So, we are here once again to talk nerd news. Update on Dodd. He's doing well, as far as I can tell. He didn't send me anything to say or anything like that, so...
I talked to him yesterday. It's continuing. He seems to be doing better, which is good.
That's very, very good. This week, it's kind of been a slow news week for geeky stuff. Yeah, it's really been a slow...
I mean, well, there's one major thing, obviously, the release of the Switch and stuff associated with that. Aside from that, I mean, Logan finally came out. We talked a bit about it last week.
Yep.
I mean, there's been very small bits of Justice League coming out, mostly on the composing side, and a couple pictures and stuff from Gail Godot, but... it's been kind of quiet for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, there was a teaser trailer that got leaked by Van Wilder, so I guess we can talk about Deadpool 2. It feels like what they've done with the Guardians trailers. Like, look, I like the Deadpool movie, and before Deadpool... I'm sorry, Reynolds, all he was to me was Van Wilder, because that's half of the character he's always played in every single movie, except for Deadpool. But the Deadpool...
What about Buried?
I have not seen Buried, so I can't comment on that. 99.9998% then. So Deadpool 2 teaser comes out, and... It's a giant Superman joke.
As opposed to the Zack Snyder films, which are also a giant joke. Anyway.
Okay, it's a giant good Superman joke. Because, you know, didn't they get rid of those phone booths in 1998?
you'd be surprised. Still some kicking around.
Yeah, I'm sure. But basically, the trailer shows Deadpool, and as I said, it's basically mocking Richard Donner's Superman, the good Superman movie, unlike Hack Snyder. And he gets stuck in the phone booth while some guy is saying, you know, oh, isn't there anyone that can hear me at all? Comes out of the phone booth. Great costume. Shut your mouth, Stan Lee. Is that going to be his only cameo? Is in the teaser trailer?
Hey, you never know.
So what did you think of the teaser?
It's cute. I mean, overall, obviously, you know, it doesn't show us too much of the movie or anything like that.
Yeah.
Overall, about the movie, I have some concerns with the director change, of course.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't hurt it. I don't know. But yeah, it makes sense to attach it to. I mean, Logan is, I think, easily the most anticipated of the Fox brand superhero movies until we get Deadpool 2.
Right.
It also is likely the only one until then. But I also think, yeah, to a certain extent, Apocalypse kind of derailed the X-Men plans a bit, and I think Deadpool 1's massive success kind of caught them off guard a bit too, so it doesn't surprise me that this is how it's worked out. But yeah, I don't know. I have high hopes for it. I really like Deadpool 1. I think it's one of the funniest. It wasn't just the funniest superhero movie. I think it was one of the funniest movies of the entire year. Yeah. And it feels like everything worked for it. Even the Deadpool's a tough character. His comics are super hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for whatever reason, they just nailed the film, which again is why I'm a little concerned about the sequel. Mm-hmm. But opposite side of that, you know,
who is the original director compared to who the replacement is?
Oh, for crying out loud, why do you have to ask me these things?
Because you're supposed to know these things. You talked about a director change. You're supposed to know this.
This is your story. I know. Nice try.
Because you're a huge Deadpool fan?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Well, then. I think as long as Reynolds has some sort of, you know, background.
Tim Miller directed the original.
Mm-hmm.
And the sequel is directed by somebody else. So, anyway.
Okay, then.
Listen, it takes time to look this up on IMDb, A. B, I gotta be careful, because I bought a mechanical keyboard, which, by the way, is great, but it's friggin' loud, especially when it starts, David Leitch, especially when I start, like, really hammering the thing, so.
Well, quit taking a hammer to your keyboard there.
So, I mean, David Leitch did V for Vendetta, Fight Club.
Well, if he did Fight Club, I don't think Daredevil 2 is going to be that bad of a movie. I mean, everybody loves... Hang on.
The issue is that he did the stunts for these films. He's okay. Got an extensive... He didn't let me finish. He's got an extensive amount of work, but yeah, it's all stunt work. And he hasn't done anything really major. He's uncredited for some work on John Wick. This is a lot easier when I remember who it is, so this is much easier, much better now. Now having said that, I mean, Tim Miller, who did the first one, didn't have an awful lot of experience either directing. He had done visual effects and a number of other things, just part of the crew for most films, and he had written a fair number.
Mm.
But, yeah, Deadpool was the first major release he had directed at all. He had done two shorts beforehand, and that's it. So
I think, you know, as I was going to say, I think the thing here is that as long as Reynolds is involved in some way,
yeah,
outside of act, like, he's not going to be the director, he's not going to be the writer, but, you know, as long as he's involved and he has enthusiasm for the role, and clearly he does, he pretty much embodies the character at this point, I don't think the movie is going to... I don't think it's going to turn into an Elektra.
Yeah, by all, by all accounts, Reynolds had an awful lot to do with the original, so... All
right, yeah. The one thing that I know that, well, that's coming this year that Leitch is, or Leitch has done is something called Atomic Blonde.
Yep.
It stars the young Professor X, McAvoy, Charlize Theron, and a bunch of other people. So there's that. But yeah, no, I like the Deadpool 2 teaser. I think it's interesting and fun. It's going to kind of keep us on our toes until whenever the actual full theatrical feature trailer will come out. Trailers like teasers like this, I like them because, as you said, it doesn't really give us a whole hell of a lot on what the plot of the movie is. We already knew. As soon as we saw that original poster that came out with the, you know, the golden eye thing and one of Deadpool's logos, you know, we knew Cable. And we knew Cable almost from the end of the first movie was going to... As long as they can, you know, work it out to get the character and get somebody to play the character, that's who's going to be in the sequel. We don't know exactly what. And I like not knowing exactly what. I don't need a movie trailer to tell me the whole plot of the damn movie.
Yeah, and my fear with a lot of comedies, and Deadpool 1 did a good job of this too, is that you get all of the funny moments or a lot of the funnier moments in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I worry a little bit that because there's been so much coverage for Guardians 2 that we've already seen some of the more surprising jokes already. I hope not. I mean, who knows? We haven't seen the movie yet or anything, obviously. But yeah. That's always a fear with comedies, is giving away too much. Plus, in the last little bit, especially in the last couple of years, we've seen a ridiculous number of trailers just give away significant plot points or parts of movies, which is a problem.
Absolutely, very much so. What do you got for your first story?
This is the Switch. Nintendo Switch came out. Well, it's true. The Nintendo Switch came out this week. A fair amount of people have got it. And, I mean, I got one to review.
Mm-hmm.
It's got problems. It's definitely not perfect. The actual Switch controller itself, i.e. the one that splits, is not well laid out, and the thumbsticks in particular feel kind of flimsy.
Mm-hmm.
The screen apparently has the possibility of dead pixels, which is not good.
Obviously not.
And in terms of the actual system itself, there's two major issues. One is you can't store saves anywhere but on the system. That is somewhat annoying. It means there's no sort of play anywhere feature with your games, that kind of thing.
Right.
Probably the worst bit, though, is there's only 32 gigabytes of storage on the system itself. After that, they're going to be selling proprietary memory. So, in other words, you're going to pay at the ass for more storage.
Right.
And, again, it'll still be limited. That's an issue, because, I mean, the 500 gigabyte PS3 didn't take long for most people to fill that thing up, especially if you buy entire games online.
Mm-hmm.
And so 32 gigs, I mean,
yeah,
you could probably fill that with some of the PlayStation 4 system updates, for crying out loud.
I know, so right?
That is not, you know, that's kind of limiting. It doesn't have great battery time when you're using the portable feature. And the last sort of concern is, I really wonder about long-term support for it, because the Wii U had a lot of issues. I'm wondering if companies will stay away just because of that. B, so far most of the third-party stuff that's been announced is old stuff that's already been released on other systems.
Right.
And C, it's an underpowered system again. And one of the problems with that's going to be, will companies bother to port it, because they've got to actually, you know, do some work on it instead of the X-Bone PS4 and PC stuff has a very similar sort of base set, and essentially you make it for the Xbox or the PS4. You're usually building it on the PC, so you've got a pretty easy sort of line there. But if you've got to power it down significantly, and I mean, there's already some loss of power from a PC to the other consoles, there's going to be companies that just don't want to do that or just decide not to. So those are all issues. I actually like the system overall. I'm just listing all the negatives first.
Mm-hmm.
I think for people who really want to play their games on the go, it'll be good. That's not me. Also, it's freezing cold up here, you know, half the year. So right. You think your battery life is bad now. Try wandering when it's minus 20 Celsius outside. So, I don't know. It's got some issues. Nintendo's track record took a huge hit with the Wii U, which was, I don't know, I don't think anybody can classify it as anything but a failure. And the other thing that concerns me is they're already hedging their bets on this, saying that they're expecting to only move roughly 5 million units by the end of the year. That's not great. That's not going to put it in contention with the other two either. So I don't know, it's just support is an issue, and it's always been an issue with Nintendo. Like, it's not a concern that the first-party games are great. They're going to be. Nintendo makes great video games.
Yeah.
It's just, will there be anything but Nintendo, or good Nintendo games, which has been something that's hurt their consoles in the last few years.
So basically, what we're saying here, folks, is there hasn't been a good Nintendo console since 2001. That was the year the GameCube came out.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think. Well, I mean, in terms of console,
we had the Wii in 2006, and then the Wii U was, you know, 2012.
I wasn't a huge fan of the GameCube either. Just not enough games for it, especially when.
But right, but I mean, comparing the GameCube to the Wii and the Wii U, just for my own personal, like, look. I don't want, and I know you can get third-party controllers, blah, 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 but the whole point of buying a new system, specifically a Nintendo system, is that they have a controller that works for anybody. I'm sorry, that dumb remote stick or whatever the hell it is, that is just stupid. And then, because with me, I have to play console games. It's why I don't have a console unless it's, you know, old SNES or NES itself. I have to play video games one-handed. When it comes to controllers, I basically palm the thing and then use my index finger and my thumb for the D-pad and whatever buttons there are. So the stick is stupid. The giant screened Wii U, yeah, right. So basically for me, like, the closest thing I could do without actually going back to Super Nintendo, which by far is my favorite out of them all, would be the GameCube. So,
I think, a couple other notes on it. One, this is the best Zelda in forever. It's fantastic.
Well, yes.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's good. But again, the issue is going to be, is this going to be just a Nintendo game system? And is that enough to recommend it? To be blunt, right now, it's really overpriced, especially when you consider how much other crap you're going to have to buy for it just to sort of maintain it. Right. You may not need it out of the box, but it's stuff you're going to need probably within the first year or so, you know, in addition to extra controllers, that kind of thing, depending on how many people you want to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So that hurts it. To be blunt, in a lot of ways, too, it's just an upgraded Wii U. It's really what people, I think, hoped for with the Wii U in terms of it's a screen that you can walk around with and play, you know, the same game instantly.
Mm-hmm.
On it, no matter where you go. So there's that aspect. But I don't know. It's, like I say, it's really not something I would purchase now, especially considering the possibility of dead pixels and other issues.
Not at $300, hell no.
No, and that's one of the things, too. Just people in general, do not buy consoles when they first come out. The first generation pretty much is guaranteed to have some type of problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
It has happened repeatedly. I mean, look at the Xbox 360 and the infamous overheating / Three Red Lights issue, which, by the way, I went through 4, so I went to 360 number 5.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. But yeah, only time will tell with the Switch.
Yeah, and I hope it does well. I don't mean to come off really negative. It's just, I gotta be honest, after the Wii U, I don't have a lot of... The Wii U hurt Nintendo, and it hurt how I feel about them, because it was just not a good system, and it was kind of a mess, so, bleh.
Yep. Alright, so going back to comics again this week, I had a press release sent to me from IDW Publishing. They are teaming up with Humble Bundle for a Creators Showcase bundle. From now until March 15th, if you go to the website, you can get any of the various things that are listed. And basically, the Humble Bundles are basically you can get comics for... It's, think of it like Patreon, sort of, kind of, but, you know, or GoFundMe or whatever. You pay a certain price at a certain, you know, the $1 level, the $5 level, the $10 level, etc., and you get certain... you know, things with each level. You've done these before, right?
Oh yeah, I got a ton of them. It's basically just to pay what you want, and yeah. you can choose where the money goes in terms of, do you want it to go directly to the charity? Do you want some to the company? Do you want some to Humble Bundle, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera? And yeah, I really like the service. I've got a ton of indie games, books, and oof. Those are the main two. Actually, no, I've done a couple mobile bundles as well, too.
Mm, absolutely. So some of these titles that you're going to be able to get in this is, at the $1 level, you're going to get the October Faction Volume 1, the Max Maximized Volume 1 and 2, Cosmic Scoundrels Number 1, Winter World Volume 1 and 2, Night of a Thousand Wolves, Rotten Ruin, Warrior Smart, Comic History of Comics, The Last Fall, and Winona Earp Legends, Doc Holliday Number 1 and 2. At the $5 or more level, you'll receive Winona Earp Volume 1, Onyx Lock and Key Volume 1, Brutal Nature, etc., etc., etc. At the $10 level, you got Winter World, the October Faction Volume 2. You know, and it's all these titles, and it's just one of those things where I think this is great that IDW is teaming up to that with them, and I think it's great, as you said, that the person buying any of these bundles gets to choose where the money goes. That is awesome.
And at the very least for these bundles, the $5 one mm-hmm. is definitely worth it. You get 30 Days of Night, and then the first trade of worth of Lock and Key. Lock and Key is an outstanding series. Mm-hmm. And 30 Days of Night is very much sort of a classic at this point. Much better than the film, which was eh. But, yeah. You know, it's a really good book.
Yep. And we are recording this March 5th. It'll be out March 6th. If you check back on the Humble Bundle website on March 8th, there'll be additional titles joining the bundle. So, who knows what they're going to throw in. As I said, I think this is just very, very awesome, and it's a great way for people to get comics at the same time giving to charity.
Yeah, same thing with indie games, and occasionally they do it with, well, depending on the company, they do it with full-fledged AAA games, so...
Right, right. What else you got this week?
I got nothing.
It's a dead week.
At least I'm honest.
I'm not, you know, yeah, I'm not going to go in too deep into this, but there is a news story because you asked me off air. There was a news story that did come out about some guy who thinks he looks like Daniel Adair from Nickelback. Because you would ask me, you got any more Nickelback stories this week? I'm like, no.
No, that was last week I made fun of you for that.
Well, one of these weeks.
Also, that doesn't mean I need to hear them. Jeez.
Yeah, well.
I was just being polite.
Right. As we are recording this, we're about 20 minutes away from WWE Fastlane, so you guys will be
sleep. Work's killed me this week.
You guys will be getting a new Mayhem Mics. I think Dodd might be joining us. I don't know yet. I gotta message him and find out, but we're gonna record that this coming Wednesday.
And I'll be watching it tomorrow, so.
Yeah, I'll be watching it tomorrow too. I'm not watching it tonight. So there is that. What kind of news items do you guys want us to try to find each week? So let us know what you want us to talk about. Do you want us to have... Normally, how we've always done Nerd News is we've always... Whoever's on, whether it's me and Ryan, whether it's me and Mike Dodd, whether it's four or five of us, we've always had two news stories already ready and, you know, we're going to talk about them. I'm trying to think if...
weeks where it's quiet and I had an insane work schedule, apparently.
Well, yes, and I said that's what we've been doing for years, but I'm trying to see if people want us to change it up a bit. Like, what I sometimes will do is I will go on Facebook Trending and look at certain topics and things like that, and if it's something legitimate that I can find, you know, sources for, do you guys want us to do, like, a spur-of-the-moment type of news show? Do you guys, instead of us getting the two stories beforehand and bringing them to the podcast, do you guys want us to find stuff as we're you know, on the show? So there's that. Let us know about that. March 15th will be the all-new topic show. Where were you in 1992? Basically going back 25 years, we're going to go around the table, tell all of us how old we were and what we were doing in 1992. Some of us, like Randrew, weren't even alive yet, so he's kind of null and void, but he can send in a voicemail and all that good stuff. So the next new topic show will be out March 15th. Yeah, I think that's going to do it for us, folks. It, like we said, slow geeky news week, because the real news is all fake news and alternative facts. So, and I watched a newscast the other night, and I know this, that if it bleeds, it leads. I get that, but I watched a local newscast here in Louisville, Kentucky. The first five stories before they even took a break were all murder or attempted murder. Oh, my God. Mm-mm-mm. So let us know, folks, what kind of news stories you want us to bring up for you to listen to.
Murder stories, apparently.
Funny. No, that's not...
Oh, I thought that's what you were suggesting.
No, you idiot! You idiot!
I was going to say, I'm going to have trouble with those.
Yeah.
There's not too many here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, Canada can get dangerous when those ice road truckers go rogue. Anyway. Can you tell, folks, we're not really with it this week.
Just stop recording.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Where can the people find you online, sir?
At Nightbeat.
I am at TFU and Mike. You can follow at This Week in Geek for all the other network updates on Twitter. Make sure to go over to facebook.com/thisweekingeek for our Facebook page, thisweekingeek.net for all the website stuff. At least we talked about video games this week, because Ryan gave his thoughts on, you know, switching to Nintendo. Or Nintendon't, I should say.
Hey, if you love Zelda, you love Zelda, you probably already have a Wii U, so you should just play it on that instead of buying a new system for one game.
Mario was a launch title, wasn't he?
Wait, you mean this time around?
No. Yeah. What?
No, I mean, really, Zelda... That's the other problem. One thing I didn't mention is the launch lineup is really weak for the Switch. It's essentially Zelda and nothing else, to be honest. And that hurts. Although, having said that, Zelda's good enough. You're going to play it probably, maybe even more than once. It's really well done, so...
I can't believe Mario is not a launch title this time around. That makes no sense.
I think Zelda works just as well. I mean,
no, it does, but
you, want to, you probably don't want to compete to, or, you know, crank out both of them and kind of, you know, shoot everything too early. So,
let's talk about this for a second. Aren't there two different fan bases for the two different game series?
No, because I think at this point it's been amalgamated into Nintendo, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of you're either a Nintendo fan, essentially, or you're not. I agree they're two very different genres, but I think the people that are going to play / go after the system just for one of those are just as likely to play the other one as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some overlap, but I know exactly what you're saying, and it makes sense.
I played them both, you know, throughout the years, but I was always more like I played Mario more than I played Zelda until
I said, ugh, heathen.
No, I look. Okay, the first game was excellent. Adventures of Link was just, and then A Link to the Past on Super. I played that and Mario World about the same time as much, so it's about even for me. You know, and I mean, I'm thinking, okay, I know technically some of these are not first party Nintendo titles, some of them are third party titles, but like when I think of Nintendo, outside of Mario and Zelda, I think of Donkey Kong, I think of Excitebike, I think of Mega Man, I think of
all of them except Mega Man are under the Nintendo banner. Granted, they were developed by companies that eventually branched out, but
yeah. But I mean, that's what I'm thinking. You know, when I think of Nintendo launching a new system, all of their staples that we've known for the past however many decades should at least two of them be on launch.
I wouldn't do it at launch just because you're going to get too much overlap, I think. Mm-hmm. Ideally, they want to save something for Christmas. And I guess you're getting to one of the bigger overall points / problems I've had with Nintendo is they really don't have a lot in terms of differing genres or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, you're guaranteed to get a Mario and Zelda. You'll get an occasional Metroid and that kind of thing.
Mm.
And more to the point, I also question whether or not, with the exception of Mario, I question whether or not these games have been surpassed. And if time is kind of already passed them, trying to think of a way to put this, but I mean, in terms of video games, I guess it all depends on what you want out of them. If you want to play a game with a great storyline or, you know, something, well, basically that's just it. If you want to play a game with a great storyline or great technical aspects, you're not playing a Nintendo game.
No.
Mario and Zelda, unfortunately, are pretty much the exact same story every time, and they're not exactly going to tear at your heartstrings or make you believe you are those characters or that sort of thing. It's not, and to be fair, they're not built like that. They're not built to be Witcher 3 or Mass Effect or something.
Yeah.
But I just, that combined with sort of the constant Nintendo limiting their hardware and that kind of thing, it gives it this feel that you're playing something from generations past. And to be fair, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with playing older games. Some of the older games are still better than newer versions that come out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. There's something about it that in the last few years especially, I've really been feeling like Nintendo kind of feels like they're behind the curve. You're just never going to get,
'cause they are.
You're never going to get a Witcher 3 or Mass Effect Andromeda or Mass Effect 2 or Uncharted 4 or any of those sort of experiences at all. And it's not just that it's few and far between, it's that it's just not going to happen. You know, they don't make games with storytelling as a focus or anything like that, and the third parties avoid it like the plague. So, I think that's something else that hurts them in the future. But we'll see. I mean, companies, if it sells well, companies are going to jump on. And if they try to support it and entice companies to come back, that can turn around quick.
Hmm. Yeah, it can. And like I said, for me, Nintendo really hasn't, like, I would gravitate more towards PS4 now than anything else.
Yeah, the PS4 is the best value out of the current system. I was a huge fan of the original Xbox. If you asked me between Xbox 360 and PS3, that's one hell of a battle there. I really like both systems a lot. But I think I really have to give it to the PS4 if you're looking at one of the three consoles at this point.
Yeah.
Option 4, buy a computer.
Yeah, pretty much. It's cheaper in the long run.
That's a thing. I mean, look at my... Anyone who has me on Steam can see that the games are cheap.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to get out of here. Join us next week for an all-new Nerd News. Hopefully next week something more will be happening.
Or I'll be more awake. One can dream.
Wow. All right. Lower your shields, surrender your listenership. We will catch you next week on Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek. Wow, dude. That just... Yeah, you need a lot of sleep because... Yeah. Comedic timing is way off on that.
Comedic timing was great.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Stroke the Wookiee.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit? Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
Let's kind of start off with the Asmophere. The biggest twat, and my night got fucked.
I had a great time.
Fucked! This is the Fury. I'm bringing the Fury.
He's mad.
Where am I? Well, I'm at the movies.
What? It's not my fault.
Because you're being a jerk about it anyway.
What?
I'm a nice
guy. So strongly. He'll bitch about it later, like, as you could tell. For the whole internet to hear. What?
I'm not crazy.
I don't fly off the handle. Like, what?
Stop hitting the mic.
No, it's to emphasize my point.
You can make any noise anywhere else. Stop hitting the mic. That fucks it up. Don't do that.
Oh my god, you're such a baby. What?
I just fucking did!
Would you shut up? Seriously.
This is the Fury. I'm bringing the Fury.
He's mad. What?
Where am I? Well, I'm at the movies. Like, well, no shit. You didn't need to fucking tell everybody that.
What?
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes the pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.